that matter most, right, which are so appreciative of your books and your words, because I mean, anytime you share a story like that, it changes lives.
Yes.
I think Allison's story is going to, God, it better fucking change the world. So when they are a child, they come up with something called the inner publicist.
Oh.
Now, we've heard RuPaul talk about the inner saboteur. The inner publicist is the way Allison goes through the checks and balances of the day and prepares to not make mistakes and prepares things to say in public and private and in press tours, because they're now doing Cheaper by the Dozen. They have to talk about the movie and they talk with 50 reporters a day. And Allison is 11 and playing a 13-year-old when they're in Cheaper by the Dozen. And so the reporters will be like, you know, what advice do you have for girls who just get their first period? And Allison's like, I haven't gotten my own period and I don't know what to say. And so they always have this inner publicist running constantly of how to be a good person and how to say the right thing as a child.
That question alone. Wow.
Truly. How dare you? So let's get into their family life. So yes, basically, Allison's mom divorced Allison's dad and within like 6 months was married to their boss, John. John had been the boss of both of them. And John had money and John has jowls. We know that. And John is really hitting the stereotype of what I call stepdad energy on this podcast, where you're just the worst little Captain Devil man who's now in charge of a home and a family and wreaks havoc while being drunk out of his mind. So Allison's mom and John, there's just a lot of alcoholism. There's a lot of drinking. Allison talks about how there's like 3 bottles of wine a night going down and then used as props to throw at each other. And they wrote this: John was outnumbered by us because Allison has 2 sisters, but we were outpowered by him. His retaliation knew no bounds. If mom fought back, he might hurt us all. She collapsed under his control and spit out a warning with her waning coherence. Don't call anyone, girls. Every family has problems. Go to your rooms. And he had just thrown her mom against the wall. Shaken, I slowly backed away and ran upstairs. Corey, Allison's sister, came out with suitcases in hand and shushed me. Where are you going? I whispered anxiously. Away. Corey sneaked down the back stairs and took off with someone waiting in a car. In a year, she'd get her license and leave for months, opting to live in her car over another night of John's horror. And then later wrote, John claims that my mom was his trophy wife and abandoned him for her 9-year-old's rising stardom, which positioned him and me at irreconcilable odds. His self-esteem deteriorated into sullenness and rage. Then came delusions and paranoia, accusing mom of infidelity, and as I'd learned years later, forcing her to fulfill sexual acts as repentance.
This man was a narcissist.
Yes.
And There's double narcissism, because the mother was also a narcissist.
He was the aggressor.
Yes.
And Allison's mom wouldn't act out. And so I think Allison didn't know that their mom was also a narcissist for a long time.
Totally. And there's, I mean, John is just the worst person ever. But I really related to Allison's relationship with their mom. I have mom that's very similar, a narcissist, and also kind of living vicariously through their child and also having to take care of your mother. There's a part I have highlighted here that's, I tried to interpret what was happening on my mom's expressions. Is mom happy? Is mom stressed? Should I find mom's Merlot? And she's like 10 years old, not even 10 years old. So
yeah,
there was really no one taking care of Allison. I hope Allison listens to this.
If it's good for Allison, I hope they listen. And if not, I hope they're on a beach. Oh, I want to read this. It goes along with what you're saying. So again, Allison has 2 sisters who are older. Corey and Jamie experienced a wholly different mom, one they felt was absent and vindictive. While I could do no wrong, my sisters could do no right. Accomplishments were minimized. Misbehavior was punished and dangled in front of me as an example of what not to become. Corey navigated the stumbling blocks of teenhood, peer pressure with drugs and partying, a violent boyfriend, body image issues, first summer jobs without parental support. Her promising academic life was derailed by addiction, anorexia, and homelessness. Jamie, who vehemently rejected the move to California from the beginning, pleaded to return to Toledo to live with dad, where she could thrive in a community and position herself for athletic recruitment funnels. I was so busy with work, I hardly saw my sisters or spent quality time with them. I didn't know what they did, how they felt, or where they went. They had no clue about my life except for projects that aired on television. The dysfunction and lack of emotional intimacy in our house further weakened our bond and trust. With mom drunk, John unhinged,